I'd like to look at Psalm 98 briefly.
Psalm 98, verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with a harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. Amen. The psalm begins with an instruction, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. What's wrong with the old ones? Well, we're told in Revelation 5 and verse 9, and they sang a new song. And the new song here, I don't think is anything to do with a new style of music or more up-to-date lyrics or anything like that. The new song said, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nations. The people there purchased are us. And we can sing a new song to God. He has called us. He's made us his own. He's adopted us. He has created a wonderful inheritance for us. Let me say something to you, which if this were a secular gathering would be an insult, or it'd be something to worry about. But you are a year closer to dying. And let me tell you, dying for the believer means to be with Christ, which is better by far. Yeah, and we will be singing that new song. And, you know, I don't know what 2020 is going to hold. It seems a long time off. In fact, it's less than a quarter of an hour. And I don't know whether it's going to be a great year or a tragic year. On a world or a national scale or on a personal scale, of course, it will have ups and it will have downs. But the God to whom we are to sing has done marvellous things. No, God does not change. Yesterday, today, forever, he is the same. And the God who rescued Israel, the God who delivered this church from the claws of an apostate denomination, the God who has delivered us and thus far helped us and made us safe, the God who calls you to look back on his track record, as it were, says, well, and also you can trust me for the future also. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. When I look out at the world, I don't see God's victory. I see the victory of sin. I see the triumph of Satan. I see constant and endless rebellion. But God does have the victory. He has the victory because he's the Alpha and the Omega. He has the last say. He wrote the final chapter. And the psalm ends with his coming to judge the earth. Furthermore, we know that the ultimate victory against sin was wrought at the cross of Calvary. Sin was defeated, our ransom was paid, and the people who were singing the new song in Revelation chapter 5 were those persons purchased by God. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. Well, what does that mean? Well, I think it may, of course, be a reference to the Lord Jesus himself. Christ is the very righteousness of God, and the righteousness of God became a human being. But also, I think we, which are the body of Christ, we are a revelation of the goodness and the righteousness of Christ to the wicked world in which we are living. His righteousness he hath revealed in the sight of the nations. And as the world continues to rebel against God and God's created order, so those who make a stand for righteousness will become more and more apparent. The distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous will be more and more pronounced. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. God has a special mercy and faithfulness and love for his people. Now, you are a child of God. You are grafted into Israel. And, you know, when I remember things, it means I've forgotten them before. But I don't think the psalmist here is saying that of God. He remembers, he constantly calls to mind his mercy and his faithfulness to his people. And it's important that we dwell upon that for a few moments because, you know, in one respect, New Year means nothing. You know, I don't think God or heaven is set according to our calendar. You know, just so happens that, you know, it takes the sun, the earth, a year to go around the sun. You know, so what? Who cares? And yet, symbolically, we're on the verge of another year. And some of you have seen more years than me, and I've seen some more years than some of you. But it's good to go into that new year, knowing that the God of heaven constantly calls to mind the mercy he has for us and the faithfulness he has to us. And if God is calling that to mind, how much more we, his people? We are the recipients of that faithfulness, the recipients of his mercy. In verses 4 to 6, there is a response. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice, sing praises, sing to the Lord with the harp, with a psalm, with trumpets. Sound the horn, shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Why are God's people, and not just God's people, the entire earth, why are they called to shout joyfully? In fact, in verses 7 and 8, it even invokes inanimate objects and natural features to worship God. Let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. The psalmist is so excited, he wants the rivers and the hills and the mountains to clap and to rejoice in the goodness of God. Let all creation rejoice. Of course, rivers can't clap their hands because they don't have them. And hills can't be joyful because they don't have feelings. And neither can sinners rejoice in the presence of God because they have no title to enter that place. And yet we in Christ can look at that first part of the psalm. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. Jesus Christ, our atoning sacrifice, came to earth, that unlike the rivers and unlike the hills, we truly can rejoice in the goodness of God, rejoice in the salvation of God. This is not some theoretical position. It's something we've experienced. It's something we have received. We can shout joyfully to the Lord. We can break forth in song. We can rejoice with a psalm, a harp, a trumpet, a horn. And in verse 9, for he is coming. He is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness, he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. And of course, to the people outside, who don't believe this anyway, of course, but to the people outside, that is not something over which to rejoice. But to we who believe, he is precious. And we long for that day when the Lord Jesus returns, when the government of our planet will not be with presidents and kings and tyrants and bully boys, but with Jesus Christ himself, who will judge the peoples with equity. I remember back in the 1990s, I would go to watch night services and people would say, well, this could be it, the year that Jesus comes back. He never did. But they were right to consider it. Might it be that in 2020, verse 9 of Psalm 98 is fulfilled quite literally? Well, of course, he may not. But we need to be ready for it, and we need to hope for it. And it's not something we need to put off because we've got our own plans. It's something we should long for and expect and hope and anticipate. I'm convinced that at 12 o'clock we need to be in prayer. So I'm going to wrap up these simple comments on the psalm. But the Lord Jesus said in Revelation 22, yes, I come quickly. And the more and more that this world rebels, you know, male and female, he created them. Well, that's gone out of the window. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's been ignored for years. A man shall leave his father and mother and take a wife. Well, that seems to be going as well. And whatever God has ordained in that book of Genesis, so our race foolishly and wickedly ignores. And I say, come, Lord Jesus. And the psalmist says, he is coming. He's coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world. Until that happens, don't be discouraged by what goes on out there. Like the psalmist, shout joyfully to the Lord. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King, in 2020.